And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." You can tell who's been preaching here last, can't you?
What are you saying?
I want to ask you this question initially. Have you ever been in a moment of your life in a place that was filled with goodness, filled with blessings, good job, health in throughout the family, spouse that's supportive and loving, children where things are going well, and yet at the same time, something is missing? That in the heart, there's even sometimes sadness and loneliness in the midst of being surrounded with blessings. There's an emptiness. Well, I experienced that a number of years ago. I was at my first church, St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Northeast Vermont. And I couldn't understand what was going on. It was the church, after a couple of years, was coming alive. There was great bass fishing in the local lake, one of the best cross-country ski centers in the whole country. And I had and still have a beautiful and ornery spouse. And yet, at the same time, something was missing. It didn't make sense, this sadness and loneliness. And so I shared this with one of my colleagues and good friends, Father Jim Beauregard, who was a Roman Catholic priest in the area. And he looks at me over breakfast and says, "John, I know what your problem is." So I'd have to kind of be careful there, right? Because there are probably many folks that are willing to tell their pastor what their problem is. And Jim, I said, "What is it, Jim?" And he said, "I think you're suffering from cold love." And I looked at him and I said, "Cold love? I've never heard of that. What is that?" And he said, "Cold love is when we as God's people pray for that closeness, that nearness of God drawing near, of Jesus drawing near, and it begins to happen. We experience that. And in our humanness, all of a sudden, we put our spiritual arms out and say, that's close enough, Lord. I'm not sure I can take you any closer. I'm not sure I can trust you any closer." And so I turned to Jim and I said, "No, I don't think that's the case. I don't think I'm suffering from cold love." And so God has a way of bringing truth to us, doesn't God? The very next week, I'm with my best friend, Ray. And he knows that we're going to be traveling from Vermont down to Western North Carolina in this little town called Black Mountain, and where I would be interviewing for the new rector. And Ray knew we had a small car, and it was a long drive. And he said, "Why don't you take our company car? It's a big Oldsmobile. You'll be more comfortable. You'll be safer. Please, just take the car. I won't need it." And I looked at Ray, and before I even began to think, what came out of my mouth were these words: "Ray, thank you so much, but I just couldn't let you." There it is. That is what cold love looks like. It's saying no to one another when our neighbor, our friend, our family member wants to care for us, love us in the unique ways that they are gifted to do. And we say no. This is a sum of what's going on in the gospel lesson for this evening. Remember, they've just had Last Supper. And Jesus has taken off his outer garment, puts a towel on, and begins washing the disciples' feet. And he comes to Peter. And Peter said, "Master, you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "Peter, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear enough to you later." Peter persisted, "Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet ever." Do you hear cold love? Peter's no is the voice of cold love. A no to letting Jesus love him as Jesus was choosing to do. Now it makes sense, because remember, foot washing back at that time was a servant's task. And here is Jesus, brother, friend, teacher, rabbi, but the Lord, the Son of Man that they know. And so I think Peter is saying no because he feels unworthy. And who of us would not feel the same, right? To have Jesus stoop down literally and wash our feet. And so then Jesus turns to Peter. And I'm fairly certain that Jesus says in a loud enough voice so that the rest of the disciples can hear him, Peter, if I don't wash, this is a paraphrase now, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, if you don't let me love you in this way, you can't be part of what I'm doing. Peter, if you don't let me love you in the way that I am choosing. And so I've been asking myself, why is this so important to Jesus? Why is this moment so critical to him and to us? And I believe it has something to do with the new command Jesus is about ready to give the disciples following the foot washing. What Millie just read, you must love one another just as I have loved you. Jesus actually has been modeling this with the disciples for a number of years when he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. He has been drawing on the Father's love and drawing on that love to love his disciples. Jesus first receives the Father's love, then Jesus loves us. And I think Jesus is telling us, really reminding us this evening, that our loving one another is dependent upon our first receiving Jesus's love. Does that make sense? That our obedience to this new command to love one another is rooted first in our willingness to receive the love of Jesus, however that looks like, however Jesus is at foot in that, filling us to overflowing with his love. And I love this image of love one another. It's like this reservoir is just splashing out into the world as we love one another in the ways that you and I are uniquely gifted to do. So there's a metaphor that was coming to me this week. Some of you probably wouldn't have any experience with this, but I was raised on a family farm up in Ohio. And one of my farm chores was that I had to fill the water trough for the livestock. Now, we had a hose and water pump to the house, but that well was not, didn't have the capacity to do the livestock. And so there wasn't another well. We had another well, but no pump. So I literally had to pump that well like this. Some of you may not be quite old enough to remember that. But in order, when you don't have a water pump, what you do, I'd get the hose from the house and I'd run water into the opening of that pump, and I would pump that handle and it would create a suction and it would draw up the water out of the well. And so I would spend the next half hour just going like this, you know, just, I love this. I love doing this. And it began to occur to me that this is a metaphor for loving one another, for drawing Jesus's love, that I believe that we are created to be reservoirs of God's love that only God can fill. And what primes the pump, drawing the water out, drawing the love out, I think it's a partnership between the Holy Spirit and our saying yes to loving one another. And that is what draws out that love of God that we are to distribute, to share, to splash out into the world. And so I just want to conclude with two stories of what it looks like where we are loving one another without any cold love at all. A cold love, a free zone. And at that same church at St. Mark's, it was a Maundy Thursday evening service like this. And I was giving the homily, and sitting over in that area is Lynn. She's probably in her early 50s, something like that. And she's just getting really fidgety, and she's moving around and going like this and like this. And it's so distractive to me that I had to turn away from her. And after the service was over, I went up to her. I said, Lynn, are you okay? Are you feeling all right? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you were just moving around and fidgeting. I thought something was wrong. And she said, oh, John, no, I forgot it was foot washing on Monday, Thursday, and I was wearing my pantyhose. And so during my sermon, my homily, Lynn is over there taking that particular garb off. Can you imagine? And they don't prepare you for this, at least not at the seminary I went to. What about for you, Millie?
Actually, yes.
Okay, all right. But at the heart, do you see what's going on here? Here was this amazing woman who was so in love with God, so in love with Jesus, and probably she needed that reservoir refilled with the love of God. And she was not going to let anything get in the way, anything, from being refilled through the foot washing. Isn't that amazing? So, Lynn, you were taking your pantyhose off during my sermon, are you? But it was also, not that year, but it was during Holy Week. My mother had been suffering from leukemia, battling leukemia for several years, in and out of remission. And we knew that it was getting close to the end of this lifetime. She had been in the hospital back in Ohio for about at least 3 weeks, going on four. Mom was the director of the nursing school that was associated with that hospital. And I was literally, and I don't think I'm unique in this, I was literally crying out to the Lord, said, Jesus, where are you? Where are you in the midst of this pain and suffering that my mother is going through, that our loved ones at times are going through? And I also, what was at work is that I was saying, Jesus, I've got an Easter message to prepare. And there's no way that I can do it when the shadow of death and her pain and suffering is casting that shadow in my heart. And so I kept praying this, Lord, where are you? And what I began to hear was this whisper. It says, I'm with those who are loving her every day. The faculty of that nursing school, there probably were about six or eight of them that came in every morning. They took turns, they rotated every morning of every day of the week. And they would bring a fresh nightgown. They would bathe her. They would wash her hair. They would change her sheets. They would sing to her. They would pray with her. You see, where cold love is completely far, far away. And so they were loving my mom with the love of Christ, in their acts of love, and I believe in our acts of love, yours and mine. Jesus becomes present to us in such amazing and life-changing ways. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your first loving us. Bless us this night in becoming aware of wherever we are vulnerable to cold love. Give us your grace to let go of that cold love so that we are free to let you love us as you choose, fully and completely, so that we in turn may love one another as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.